Finish Well Radio, where changing the world starts with changing the home, with your host, Meredith Curtis.
Hi, and welcome to Finish Well Radio. Today, I am so excited to have with me Jennifer Rose Curtis. She is not only my daughter, but she is on the worship team with me. She is a musician and a singer. She's a worship songwriter. And most of all, Jenny Rose loves to worship the Lord. And so, welcome, Jenny Rose.
Hello, Mommy. I'm so glad to be here, and it really is a great privilege to be here. Thank you.
Well, before we get started, Jenny Rose, tell us a little bit about yourself and where people can find you on the web.
Okay. Well, like she said, my name is Jenny Rose Curtis, and I'm her daughter. And I just graduated from Stetson University, and I majored in communication and Spanish. And you can actually find my blog on my Facebook. And I forgot to write out the actual URL. But if you go to my mom's Facebook, and you can find me, and you can find my blog in that way. And I guess just a little bit about myself. After graduating from college, my life pretty much consists of discipling other younger women, serving on the worship team, singing and playing, leading youth group with some of the most amazing youth group leaders ever, leading worship in life groups, and right now also looking for a job.
Thank you so much, Rose. Let's just jump right in, and let's start with the number one question. Why is worship so important to a Christian?
Well, I think that all of us have heard the phrase, we all worship something. And basically, I'm sure you've heard this before, but what they're getting at is the purpose of our lives is to worship God. And when God created us, He created us to glorify Him and to worship Him. And so what ends up happening is that if we're not worshiping God, we'll always end up worshiping something. And honestly, as I read through the Old Testament, I see that that's why God was so adamant with the Israelites to not worship other gods, because He knew it would be such a strong temptation for them. After all, if they weren't worshiping the Lord their God with all their hearts, they would leave room to worship other idols, other foreign gods, and a lot of sin would creep into their lives. And even though for us nowadays, we look back at that and we think, oh, well, I'm not bowing down to any Buddha statues. Well, maybe you know people who are, and that's a problem. But for most of us, worshiping something other than God can involve worshiping ourselves or worshiping our comfort or our pleasure or striving for perfection or for success or anything that has an unhealthy hold on our heart. That would be something that we devote all of our time and our energy to. That would be something that we worship. But for God, He created us to put the most intense energy and affection and love that we have into Him. And so for a Christian, it is so crucial to worship God because that's the basis of our connection with Him. And also, God created us to be intimate with Him, which is another aspect of worship. So if you look at the first couple of chapters of Genesis, we see that God created Adam and Eve to be intimate with Him. They walked with Him in the garden in the cool of the day, and they talked with Him, and He poured out His heart to them, and they poured out their hearts to Him. There was nothing holding them back from one another. And that was just the epitome of intimacy with God. And so in worship, that is our connection with Jesus, our connection with God. It's our hearts communicating to His. And so in that, there's so much intimacy, which is exactly what we were created to have with God.
Wow, Rose, that's a lot. And when you were speaking at the beginning, I was just remembering being a young woman before I accepted Christ. And I used to get this magazine called Tiger Beat. I remember the name of it. And in the middle of every Tiger Beat issue, there would be a centerfold of a rock star. And I would very carefully take these centerfolds out. They would be fully dressed, like there was nothing weird about them. And I would hang them on my wall. And my wall was just hung with Bobby Sherman and David Cassidy's people I'm sure none of you have ever heard of. I realized after I became a Christian that they were really objects of worship. So I think you're right. If you're not worshiping the true God, then I think you end up worshiping something, and worship really truly is our life.
Such a good point, because also what you worship fills you up with what that is. So like the people who are worshiping those rock stars, they're getting filled up with the pride and the materialism that those rock stars represent. But for a Christian, when we worship God, it's also so important because we're filling ourselves up with God. And when we fill ourselves up with God, we reflect Him. And that's the whole goal of a Christian, is to know Christ and to be like Christ. And so the more we worship Him, the more we can become like Him.
Yes, yes, I agree. So, Rose, what is worship?
Well, that is a very, very big, big, broad question. And I've thought a lot about this, and I think what I'm supposed to focus on and pray about it is, in the simplest form, worship is an offering. That's just plain and simple. It's an offering. When we worship God, we're offering something to Him. And in the Old Testament, worship involved sacrifices. So we saw that in like Exodus, when God was giving them command, He would command them to sacrifice bulls and goats and calves because that was part of their consecration. In order to worship God, they had to consecrate themselves and purify themselves to worship God exactly how He wanted. And He had really strict rules and regulations about how to do those sacrifices. They had to slaughter the animal in an exact way so that the blood would pour out. And that blood symbolized the reminder of their sins. And so there was a passage that the Lord laid on my heart to talk about the difference between worship then and worship now. And it's in Hebrews 10. And in Hebrews 10, 1 through 4, it says, "The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices, repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have all stopped being offered? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once for all, and they would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, because it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." And so here we see that the writer of Hebrews is talking about worship in the Old Testament was just a reminder of our sins, because those sacrifices couldn't cleanse us. And then he goes on to talk about how the sacrifice of Christ could cleanse us. He says, "Were these sins," and he's talking about sins, "where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. There's been one sacrifice, and that's Jesus Christ. He was the perfect lamb. He lived a perfect life, and He sacrificed Himself on the cross, and He took God's wrath, and He was slaughtered so that our sin could be completely atoned for. There no longer has to be any sacrifices." And it's so cool, because the very next verse says, "Therefore," because there's no longer any sacrifice for sin, in essence, he says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, His body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water." And so basically what I'm getting from this is that when we worship God now, we're coming into God's presence by His blood. We're no longer worshiping this faraway God. We're worshiping God in full confidence, in full assurance of faith, being covered and drenched in the blood of Christ. So that tells me that worship now is exalting and finding our joy in the sacrifice of Christ. It's coming into God's presence and adoring Him and offering ourselves to Him in response to Him cleansing us. And the only way that we can truly worship Him is when we're covered in the blood of Christ. And he also makes a really good point here. He says, having full assurance of faith, but also having a heart sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. And I know that from the Word of God and from personal experience, you cannot worship God with a guilty conscience. You absolutely cannot. And I know that for me, when I'm holding on to sin in my heart, I cannot worship Him. There is just this block, and it's just impossible. And I know that I'm coming into the presence of God because there's two things. Number one, I repent. And the Lord will, I'll just feel so convicted of sin that I just have to get rid of it. I have to give it out. And then there's just that release, and I can just enjoy God's presence and adore Him and worship Him and be intimate with Him. And then also, I'm filled with love for other people. And so it's like when we worship God, He cleanses us and brings us to repentance, and He also fills us with Himself and fills us with His love. And so now what I see is that nowadays, in the New Testament, when we worship, we're offering ourselves. We're offering Him our hearts, our minds, our bodies, our lives, our devotion. We're offering Him, in essence, all we have. So back in the Old Testament, they offered bulls. but now we get to offer all of ourselves because we've been cleansed. And in essence, worship is the total act of surrender. And that's why worship is so much more than just singing. Singing is an important part and worshiping in that way, but it's also, it's something that affects our entire lives. And that's why our worship when we sing to God is greatly affected by how we live our lives. If we're surrendering to Christ in the way we live, we can truly and more fully surrender to Him when we're singing to Him. And it's also something very physical, and it involves our bodies. And in Psalm 150, he talks about different ways that we can worship God by playing instruments like the trumpet and the harp and the lyre and the tambourine, which nowadays you could talk about the guitar or the bass or the piano. And he also talks about dancing, and he talks about cymbals. And so it's a very physical thing. We see in Psalms bowing down, we see jumping, we see clapping, we see shouting. It's like God wants us to engage with Him with our hearts and engage with Him with our bodies and with our minds.
Wow. Well, that was a lot about worship, and it was also good. And I do want to emphasize one of the points that you made, Rose. When you come into the presence of God, and I know a lot of times we feel like when we come into the presence of God, we're kind of looking for an emotional encounter with the Lord, and many times He gives us that emotional encounter, but not always. And I think a real test of whether we have been in the presence of God or not is exactly what you said, that when we're in the presence of God, when we're in the Holy of Holies, when we're worshiping and surrendering, that we do feel repentance and we do feel love for other believers. And that's just a good way to know that you're on the right track. If you're, you know, wondering, well, am I in the presence of God? I don't always feel emotional. That's kind of your little litmus test to see if you are. The other thing that you said, Rose, was that worship involves surrender. And I remember as a worship leader, I kind of got all this advice like, okay, do the praise songs first and then the worship songs. And I thought, the praise songs, you know, and what I found out most people meant was, you know, the really fast upbeat ones. And so I thought, well, okay, yeah, but what is a praise song and what is a worship song? And that was the word that I found associated with worship every time, was an offering or a sacrifice. So that is really what God is wanting, what you said. So I really, really appreciate what you shared. Let's keep going with worship, Rose. Where can a Christian worship, and what does that worship look like?
As I read the word and from what I've experienced, I've kind of noticed two different kinds of worship, and that's more the private worship and the corporate worship. And we know that, like I said before, in the Old Testament, there was a very specific place and time and a very specific way that God wanted to be worshipped with the sacrifices. You could only worship in the temple. You could only do it a certain way, and you could only enter the most holy place once a year. And like I said before, now we can enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. So really, there's no specific place we have to worship. A Christian has constant access to God if he wants it, if he's willing to surrender and communicate and reach out and draw near to God. So in that sense, a Christian can worship anywhere. And I know for many people, worship is very important privately, meaning like in their quiet times or in the car when they're by themselves. And in that private place with God, there's just something so incredibly intimate. And I just remember so many times when I've been by myself worshiping God, getting lost in His presence and kneeling by my bed or in my dad's study, which I like to have my quiet times in. But there's just so much, there's something so intense and sacred and intimate about that private one-on-one worship with the Lord. It's where I speak with God and I communicate my devotion to Him and where He speaks to me, and that secret place where He heals my heart and He communicates His love to me, and I'm just in awe of His holiness. It's just so intimate. And one of the examples that I've always thought that reminded me of it, and I'm not saying this to be like weird or anything, but it's always reminded me of that sacred intimacy between a husband and his wife, and how that's like one of the highest forms of intimacy. And yet, when I worship God, I always think to myself, there's no way that any two human beings could ever be as intimate as I am with You right now, Jesus. And that's because that intimate worship with Christ is, or that intimacy with Jesus is the highest form of intimacy possible. And don't get me wrong, like, worshiping Jesus is in no way sexual by any means. Sexual immorality was something that was always associated with pagan worship, actually. When people would worship idols, they would a lot of times have prostitutes, and they would sleep with one another and have orgies, like all that yucky stuff. And that's in no way associated with worshiping God. But it's interesting to think, why did they have that sexual immorality in their worship? Because they longed for that intimacy. But really, worshiping God transcends any other kind of intimacy you can possibly imagine. It's because it's that highest form. And in that private place with the Lord is where we can just fully expose ourselves to Him and Him to us. And it's something where we can find healing and rest is in that private place. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't have requirements or a specific way He wants to be worshipped anymore. And that brings me to what we call nowadays corporate worship, which is where Christians will gather together and they'll worship together. And if you keep reading in Hebrews 10, I didn't, but if you did, you would see that he then says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And so when we come together as a body, that's what we call corporate worship. And again, it's a very physical thing, but it's also a very collective thing. It's no longer just us and God. It's also us, God, and His people. And one of the places that talks about corporate worship is in Ephesians 5. And he says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so here we see that in worship, there's that connection with each other. We're speaking to each other. I don't know if you guys remember songs where it's not directly addressing God, but it's like you're speaking out truth or you're speaking out things about God. And those really build each other up. And in a way, you're kind of almost singing to each other at that point. And you're kind of encouraging each other and saying, come on. And then there's also those songs where as one body, all of us, yes, we're individual, but as one people, we are calling out to God. And there is so much power in that. And that's why in corporate worship, we see spiritual gifts, and we see things like prophetic words coming forth, or words of knowledge, or prayers, or tongues and interpretation. And those are given so that the body could be built up. And so the difference between, so I would say that in corporate worship, the focus isn't just on you and God. You're also focusing on building each other up, not to be distracted, of course, you know, not to try to distract people from worship, but asking yourself, okay, how can I unify my heart with God's people around me and encourage them in worshiping God right now?
Rose, I can tell from the things you're saying that you have a rich worship life. Tell us a little bit about your personal worship life. Also, encourage people who struggle to have that kind of personal life. What can they do? What can they do if they say, well, I've just never worshipped in my quiet time. Where do I start? Or, you know, worshipping in your car, wouldn't you wreck the car if you're bowing down? Or, you know, so address that a little bit. Tell us about personally when you're worshipping God. What's going on? Do you ever get distracted? Do you ever have to focus in and push away the distractions? What are some things that happen?
Kind of always depends on where you are. I know for me, when I was growing, especially when I'm trying to grow in worshiping God, one thing that really helps me is having a special time where I just kind of close myself off from the world a little bit, and I maybe go to my room or to a really private place, and I'll maybe put on worship music, or I'll pull out a guitar and I'll play the guitar and sing, or the piano. But I'll set aside that time alone with God, and I'll let the music be playing and stuff, and I'll communicate with Him through the songs, and I'll focus on what the words are saying, and I'll mean them and believe them, and I'll tell God those words by feeling them in my heart. And it is very easy to get distracted in worship. And so, like, for instance, when you're in church and you're worshiping, sometimes it's very distracting when people are constantly coming in and out, or when people are walking up to you and trying to talk to you. Maybe you have a crush on someone and they're standing on the other side of the room and you're thinking about it. Like, there's just so many different things that could distract you. But one of the things that really helps me is by, and this may sound silly, but I always think of myself as holding my heart in my hands and I lift it up to God, and I'll focus on what the words are saying. And that more than anything helps me when I'm distracted is I'll focus on the words. And sometimes it gets really easy to start just saying the words and singing them. And because you know the song so well, you start singing them that you're not really thinking about what the words are saying. But what I like to do is I start thinking about the individual words and I start really focusing on them. And in that sense, I kind of communicate those words to God and it focuses my heart back on Him. And another thing that helps me is in my mind, I think to myself, you know what, God, no matter how I feel, no matter what's going on, I'm going to worship you because you are worthy. And I'm going to give you everything I have right now because you are worthy. No matter how I feel, whether I feel emotional with you or not, whether there's this distraction or not, no matter what happens, God, I'm yours and I'm going to worship you. And so I know that that helps me a lot. But also in feeling distant from the Lord, like in general, and there have been several seasons in my life where I have felt like my worship life has suffered. One of the things that the Lord has taught me is that I need to immerse myself in Him. Again, getting alone with Him in that quiet place, but also filling myself up with the word of truth. And, you know, in Colossians 4, he says to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and also as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And so one of the best things to do to reignite that fire for Christ is to be filled with His truth. Because when you're filled with His truth, suddenly you're recognizing who God is. You're seeing that He's holy. You're seeing that He cares about His people. You see that He's the good shepherd. You see that He is the vine and we're the branches. And it's just like, all of these amazing truths in the Word of God, you just want to worship Him. Like, that's the best response you can possibly have is, oh my goodness, God, you gave me your first fruits. You've given me your Spirit as a seal. God, you've given me an inheritance that can't spoil or fade, and it's kept in heaven for me. Oh my goodness, I have to worship you. And that's kind of the heart that you get when you fill yourself up with the Word. And then also, I like to surround myself with people who also have the same goal as me in worshiping God. And so I also check my heart and I see, God, is there anything I'm holding back from you? Is there any secret sin that I'm holding on to? Is there any pride, any lust, any greed, anything that would hinder me from you? And if there is, I ask Him to take it out of my heart and to cleanse me. And God has always been faithful and He's always, always drawn my heart back to Him and demolished those barriers. In regards to the car thing, many, many times when I worship in the car, I know that when I was driving to Stetson, I loved that I commuted. I loved that I had 35 minutes, exactly, sometimes 30 if I was running late, to drive to Stetson because that time was really a special, intimate time with God. I would pray. I would worship. And no, I didn't crash. One time, I will confess, I did miss my exit and added another whole 20 minutes getting back to my exit, because after exit 118 on I-4, there is no stopping, and you have to just go a long way and turn around. Anyways, the point is that you can get a little distracted when you're worshiping in the car, but the fact that you're focusing on driving doesn't mean that you can't worship God, because you can communicate your heart to Him while you're doing those things.
Thank you so much, Rose. We are going to take a break for a commercial, and we will be back in just a minute. Well, we are having a few technical difficulties tonight, so I'm going to keep going with our interview. Rose, how do you cultivate a heart of worship?
A couple of the things that I said a little bit earlier, I kind of bled the two questions together, and I'm sorry I keep sniffing. I'm a little bit sick, so if I'm annoying you, I'm very, very sorry. I'm not doing it on purpose. But some of the things I thought of, a couple of things to cultivate a heart of worship, and the first one is to just practice. I mean, make it your goal to give Him what He wants. Don't be thinking about, okay, what are they going to think of me if I raise my hands? What are they going to think of me if I run around the church? Or I'm not ready for that. Like, if you're not ready for that, that's cool. And that's why you have time. And that's why you do it a lot, so that you have opportunities to practice. But when you have those moments where you're worshiping God, whether privately or with the rest of the church, ask God, how do you want me to worship you right now? How can I take a step forward in worshiping you? Do you want me to kneel? Do you want me to raise my hands? What do you want me to do? I'll do anything you want. And just allow your heart to submit to Him and worship Him the way you want Him to, or the way He wants you to. And the other thing in practicing is do it in your quiet times. set aside that a little bit of time every day when you have that quiet time with the Lord, after you read His Word or before, it doesn't matter, but worship Him. Practice that. Practice letting your heart connect with God. Practice reaching for Him through the songs. And again, I already mentioned this, but fill up on the truth. And when you fill up on the truth, your response, again, like I said, is to worship God. And one thing that I like to do is sometimes when I worship God, I worship with my Bible open. And during interludes of the songs or in between songs, I'll just speak a passage out loud. Or sometimes this is kind of silly, but I'll sing a passage of scripture to the Lord, especially one of the Psalms. And I'll make up my own melody to it, and I'll just sing it to Him. Because, I mean, hey, someone already did it once back in the old days, so why can't I make up a new melody into it now? So I like to sing the Psalms or sing the scriptures to Jesus, because there's just something so pure and unpolluted about God's Word that when I sing it, it's like no one can top it. It's just the epitome of perfection, and I want to communicate that perfect love to God. And the third thing I would say would be cultivate a heart of surrender. And I was actually talking to one of my friends about this today. In Leslie Ludy's book, Authentic Beauty, she talks about cultivating a sacred sanctuary for God. And maybe this doesn't sound super masculine for the men, but it can be. It really can be. But our hearts are really, yeah, think of it like a hunting lodge for you guys. Okay, that doesn't really work. Anyways, the point I'm trying to make is that our hearts are an inner sanctuary. They're like a special place for us and God. And again, going back to the marriage illustration, it's like a husband and wife's bedroom. Like, that's a sacred place that's meant to cultivate their intimacy and where they can talk and they can, you know, they can be intimate. They can be together. And when that's what our hearts should be. And that's why we want our hearts to be clean. We want our hearts to be purified from anything that would interrupt our intimacy with Christ, whether that's pride or greed or past sins or being rebellious or sins we've committed throughout the day that we just need to repent of. We need to cleanse our hearts continually so that we can continually have that sacred, special place where God can meet with us. And I know for me, that means constantly guarding my heart against sin. If temptations rise up, I want to guard my heart against them so that I can keep my heart pure and clean for Christ so that I can worship Him. And also cultivating that heart of surrender, because honestly, like I said before, true worship is full surrender to God, and it's giving Him all of who you are, and it's allowing Him full control in your life, and it's implicitly trusting Him. I mean, if you're going to expose yourself completely to someone and be vulnerable with them, if you're going to follow them to the ends of the earth, that means you really trust them. And that's exactly what God wants from us when we worship Him and totally loving Him. So laying everything down, saying, God, whatever you want in me, I want it. Whatever you want me to give up, whatever you want to put in, I want that in my life. And also, like I said before, being around other worshipers, because there's something about who you hang out with that really affects who you are. If you hang out with angry people, you'll start becoming angry. If you hang out with rebellious people, you'll start becoming rebellious. But if you hang out with people who love Jesus, it is so refreshing, and you find yourself, you just want to naturally want to love Jesus more.
Wonderful, Rose. Now, for our final question, give some advice to those who feel distant from God when they worship.
I would say, first of all, check your heart. I know sometimes for me, most of the time for me, if I can't worship God, it's because of a guilty conscience, like I mentioned before. Or maybe there's a stronghold in my life that I haven't surrendered. Some of the things, basic things I would check for would be sexual immorality or lust, because those, more than anything, will suck dry our relationship with Jesus. It will suck dry our worship. And one of the things that my mom says all the time that really kind of stood out to me was, a lot of times we think of pornography as the opposite of married love between a man and a woman, but really she says that the opposite of pornography is worshiping God. Because the point is that sexual immorality is something that will really suck that dry. And the other thing is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness or bitterness will completely separate us from intimacy with Christ. And honestly, that's why the Bible says if you're about to offer something to God and you remember that you have something against your brother, leave your offering. Don't even offer it yet. Go to your brother and be reconciled with him, and then come back and give your offering to God. And it's the same thing with worship. There have been times when I've been about to go into worship, and I'm just like, God, I just had a fight with this person. I can't. And he says, go make it right. And so I'll go, and I'll humble myself, and I'll apologize, and we'll get reconciled, and then I'll go into God's presence, and I'll worship him. And then also sometimes it's just distractions. You know, you get busy, and then you don't do it, and when you get out of the habit, it's hard to get back into it. And so in that sense, I would say be very active in how you pursue worshiping Jesus. Set aside those times jealously where you're alone with God so you can worship him one-on-one. And when you're in the body of Christ with them worshiping, I would say fill up on scriptures. Take about 5, 10, 15 minutes before the service and get by yourself. Open up God's word and read and pray and prepare your heart to go into God's presence. So those are some of the things I would suggest.
Very good. Thank you, Rose, so much. And I want to recommend some worship material to you. Pull out old hymnals. I know that I have a hymnal in my bedroom, and I love to sing the hymns. They're full of theology. They're full of worship. And just some worshipers that write amazing worship today. I just want to recommend to you Hillsong, Hillsong United, Carrie Jobe, Matt Redman, Chris Tomlin, Darlene Check. Those writers really have the heart of God. And one of my favorite worship CDs is called This Generation. It's by Sonic Flood. And just an amazing, amazing worship CD from beginning to end. And, you know, a lot of times after you've listened to some of those CDs, you'll find yourself compiling your sets of favorite songs. And I have, you know, songs that I listen to when my heart feels empty. One of my favorite songs is by, you probably haven't even heard of him, his name is Aaron Spiro, and he wrote a song called We Will Run. And it's about running to the finish line at the end of our life. I love that song, and when I worship to that song, I feel that the strength of the Lord and a renewed desire to run the race set before me. So many things out there that God has provided for us to worship with. And then again, like Rose said, pull out the Psalms and make up your own melody and sing God's word back to him. He loves us so much, and he loves our worship. And so I thank you all very much for joining us. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. And we will see you next month at Finish Well Radio, where Rose will be hosting. She'll be the guest host, and she will be talking about teens on the family vacation. So until then, God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Finish Well Radio with Meredith Furness and the Finish Well team. Please listen in every first Monday of each month at 7 p.m. Eastern Time here at the Ultimate Radio Network.